Time for our talk with Tom Skilling. Normally, we do this on Tuesdays, Tom, but we had some scheduling issues, and so now we've got you on Wednesday. But this is a good as day as any because there's a lot going on out there, lots to talk about.
Boy, that's for sure, Anna. I'll tell you, we could have some isolated thunderstorms with little small hail and snow mixed in with the rain where they occurred today, and then we got 80 coming next week. How's that for a contrast? And a big anniversary today that few who lived through it will forget. This is the anniversary of this area's worst tornado outbreak, one that sent a terrible and deadly tornado through Belvedere and Oak Lawn. Well, also, there was a tornado touchdown in Lake Zurich on this day back in 1967, the April 21st, 1967, Belvedere, Oak Lawn, Lake Zurich tornadoes, one of six that occurred across Northern Illinois, and it was terrible. 58 people perished in that, and over 1,000 were injured, including a whole group of school children that were in a school bus. We talked about this a couple weeks ago that was picked up and thrown across a field around 3:30 in the afternoon in Belvedere. So a terrible, terrible outbreak.
We've had
some terrible outbreaks since then, Anna, but this thing tops the list.
No question. It was very emotional how you described that the adults there trying to shelter those children and just trying to save them.
Yes.
Tragically, they could not save them all, but did save some. And it's a painful reminder of that this time of year that it can bring anything our way, and we're certainly seeing that.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's interesting about that? That followed by 3 months, the area's worst snowstorm, the infamous blizzard of 67, which shut the city down. We had over 23 inches of snow, 50-plus mile-an-hour winds. Thousands abandoned cars on our expressways and all. And 3 months later, in April, we had the tornado outbreak. And a couple of days after that, we had 3 inches of snow. They were literally going through the debris up in Belvedere in snow, which had accumulated over 3 inches up by Rockford and 3 inches at Midway Airport only days after that tornado. So I'll tell you, it's a testament to how finicky April weather is around here. And we're going to see that in the next week ourselves.
I'll say, you know, last week I think we began by saying Bob in engineering wanted to know what that big bright yellow thing was in the sky, and then now people might be wondering now what are those white fluffy things falling from the sky? What is going on here? I mean, the full range, we're used to that in April. It's still shocking when you go through it because you don't know what's coming our way.
No, and you know, rumor has it that Bob got his surfboard out and was down on Creed Beach surfing last week. So, you know, that shows you how quickly things change. He'll be out when it gets up to 80. So, you know, that Bob, you can't hold him down.
No, he's a man of many talents. I mean, he's great in engineering. I didn't know the surfing was on the list. I did not know. I always look out at those surfers in the Chicago area, and people in other parts of the country cannot believe we actually have surfers on Lake Michigan. But we do, and they do come out.
If you talk to the surfers, they'll tell you it's not bad, you know, under the right conditions. So, heck, they go out in wetsuits in the winter. It's quite a pastime for them.
The other thing I see, Tom, I don't know if you've seen it too, but Michiana, the shores there and all those beach communities, you can see the kite surfers, I think they're called. They have the big kites attached to them, sometimes with a harness, and they like the most severe waves. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's freezing cold. They just, as soon as there's wind and waves, boom, they're out there. It's crazy to watch them. I mean, they know what they're doing, that's for sure, because it looks awfully harrowing and dangerous to me.
It does. It does indeed. And yet they seem to know what they're doing. I think I'm content to sit on the shoreline and just watch the waves because they're fascinating to watch. But, yeah, they're very talented, no question. Hey, Anna, we've got one other thing going on. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. We're in what we term in the meteorological community an explosively unstable atmosphere today. What that means is the air is so cold aloft that any heating down here at ground level causes the air to rise. So you get these cumulonimbus towers, these thunderheads to build up, and it, despite the cool temperatures. So we'll see if that happens. I'm seeing some virga. These are, you know, sheets of rain coming out of the base of clouds already. But the temperature, you go up to around 18,000 feet, the temperature is around 35 below zero right now. So it's very cold. And down here on the ground, even though we're in the 40s, that's relatively warm. So that air wants to rise. And when you get some thunderstorms to develop, you mix ice and snow in the clouds, and that separates charges and lightning results. So we'll see if we get some lightning out of this in spots. We can also get some small hail in a couple of these showers and thunderstorms that roam the area. So that's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. And did I hear right? There's the grapple is in the forecast again. Yeah. Is that possible?
Yeah. Those are little kernels of snow. They're what they are, Anna, is they're kind of melted snowflakes. They start as snowflakes up in the clouds. They come down, they melt. And, you know, all snowflakes have those six sides to them. They're hexagonal, we say, the crystals that make them up. But when they melt, they kind of become like little kernels of ice that come down. And, you know, you can hear them clicking on your windshield or on your car or outdoor surfaces when they hit. So some of that may occur, but there are also, because of thunderstorms possibly popping up, there may be some small hail embedded. And there's a difference between grapple and hail. Hail are little kernels of ice, and whereas grapple are melted snowflakes that take on kind of a kernel-y appearance. So a little distinction there.
Yeah, I didn't know. Every time I hear grapple, I'm like, what is that again? What is that?
Yeah.
That's an excellent explanation. I'll be on the look for all of those things, because it sounds like It's going to be an eventful 24 hours. Right, Tom? I mean, it's going to be like everything's heading our way this week. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, we warm a little bit into the upper 50s. Beautiful day tomorrow. We may have a 100% sunny sky tomorrow, Thursday. Then the clouds come back in again Friday, but we'll still get up to the upper 50s, I think, tomorrow and Friday, and perhaps even Saturday. A few showers around on Saturday. Sunday turns cooler because the winds come off the lake. But Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, the winds turn southwest and start to pick up. And this could propel us to our second highest temperature of the year. On Tuesday, as we go up to or just above 80 degrees, the way it looks right now. So we'll have gone from low 40s and snow in parts of the area yesterday, down south in particular. There was some accumulation on grassy surfaces, to 80 degrees only a day, you know, a week later, which is
Winning. Pretty amazing. Hey, Tom, we're going to pause for just a second, check traffic. I'm wondering if you have any advice for us about what to do. This is Earth Month. When we celebrate our Earth, we try to do what we can to preserve and deal with the health of our Earth. And I wonder if you have any ideas for how we might celebrate that. Back with Tom Skilling here, sponsored by Permaseal Basement Systems. And Tom, when before the break there, we just were talking about Earth Month. We're looking at our Earth. We're trying to do our darndest to keep our Earth intact and everything as healthy as possible. Do you have any advice? I mean, people say, hey, what should we do? What can any of us do to try to help out with that?
Oh, I'll tell you, Anna, I think just to take in the beauty of all this is pretty amazing. You know, there was an interesting study that came out just in the last week, which looks at, you know, human influence on our planet. And it turns out they're finding that humans had reached about 75% of the surface of our planet as early as 12,000 years ago. There are human influences. And what it shows is our presence doesn't necessarily, you know, lead to degradation of our environment. All this time we've been around. But, you know, we've managed to keep our planet in pretty good shape. Now, in recent years, there are examples where, you know, we've not treated our environment all that well. And so there are plenty of examples where we've had a negative influence on it. But it does show when you look back that far and realize humans have populated at one point or another, or in one way or another, 75% of the planet, that, you know, we can live and coexist with our environment. You know, one thing, Anna, I was looking at this photography contest that you can see online run by NASA. And what they do is they look at various pictures of our planet as taken by astronauts from the International Space Station. And some of these pictures are really dramatic, and you can go online and look them up. Go under Earth Observatory, NASA Earth Observatory, and start looking at that. You know, just scan through that. And one of the ways to celebrate our planet is the beauty of it as viewed from Earth, or from space, by our astronauts. For 20 years, they've been taking pictures up there. And some of these are absolutely extraordinary. Everything from volcanic eruptions is viewed from space to these towering thunderheads that bubble up over the Bahamas and in our tropical regions and this area, too. So that array of photos is really amazing, and certainly will celebrate the beauty of this planet we live on.
You know, I happen to see that because you posted some of them on your Facebook page. And I'm telling you, Tom, you are not underselling this. These pictures are worthy. The Discovery Channel needs to get on this and just make a documentary out of them. I mean, they're incredible. I'm looking at the Alaska Cleveland volcano eruption that you just described. From space, it looks like a shiitake mushroom that is on fire. And it's just to think of the enormity of that and how you're able to capture these pictures from that angle looking down. They're wonderful. They're just you got to check them out.
Yeah, there's one of a big cumulonimbus cloud. Those are thunderstorm producing clouds, like those that will bubble up over us today at times. Only this one developed over the Andros Island out in the Bahamas. It's incredible to look at these big mushroomy, cottony cumulonimbus clouds that produce our thunderstorms on Earth, and take that in. You know, there are about 50,000 thunderstorms on Earth every single day, and at any given moment, there are 100 flashes of lightning going on every second of every day somewhere on the planet. And by the way, there's another interesting study that shows that Oklahoma may have displaced Florida as the lightning capital of the United States. Recent analyses of lightning data, which we have, which tracks all the lightning discharges around the planet and our continent and the country, shows that there have been more in Oklahoma in recent years than in Florida. And that's kind of surprising to a lot of folks.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. We hear of tornadic activity there, though, in that area. Severe storms for sure, but I guess Florida's been replaced. You know, what did you say? What was that stat you just said about the daily lightning strikes or the minute-by-minute lightning strikes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are about if you average it out, there are about 100 lightning discharges every second of the day somewhere on the planet. So that's pretty amazing. And, you know, lightning heats the channel of air through which it passes to 50,000 degrees instantaneously. That's like five times the temperature of the surface of the sun. And one of the things that does is it takes the 78% of our air that's nitrogen and it fixes it. It solidifies it, if you will, and mixes it with the rainwater, and that's a fertilizer. And there's something like about a pound of liquid nitrogen or nitrogen fertilizer that falls in every acre that a thunderstorm passes because of lightning that it produces. So, you know, this is one fascinating natural system we live in here.
I'll say, you know, Tom, I got to say, our talks, I feel so much smarter after. I'm not sure I understand and comprehend everything perfectly, but I do. I just love the stuff that you go to and you tell us about. And then what I do, Tom, is I share it with my friends. I'll say, you know what Tom Skilling told me. And then I go through. I'm not sure I always repeat it right either. But it's, I mean, oh, my God, this wondrous world and the fascination we all have with it and the way you describe these things is just amazing. Amazing.
Thank you, Anna. I'll tell you, since I was a little kid, I always found this fascinating. And here I am an adult, and it's more fascinating than ever because we can look at it more clearly than we've ever been able to before. So it's an amazing system.
It is. What else is amazing, as we're running out of time here, Tom, is looking at Tuesday. Let's talk a lot about Tuesday. I heard you say could get 80, could be above 80 on Tuesday. So we're all looking at that date.
Yeah, that's your hooky day, Anna. Figure out, we won't tell the boss, but, you know, figure out some reason. I tell Micah Matera that all the time. I say, hey, Micah, don't tell anybody, but take, Tuesday off because it's going to hit 80. And so you can do the same, Anna. We'll just keep it between ourselves.
All right. So. I wouldn't skip Tuesday because Tuesday is the day I normally get to talk with Tom Skilling. So that would be a terrible day to skip. I would never skip Tuesday. What would be the second best day, would you say, would be to skip it?
Monday wouldn't be bad. And even Wednesday. Maybe, although there may be some thunderstorms at some point Wednesday next week, but we may warm up before that happens. So, yeah, we've got 3 days next week that start looking more like spring than what we've had the last couple.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're looking forward to that, and we'll see what the next 24 hours bring us, because it should be pretty eventful, Tom. Thanks for breaking it all down for us.
You bet, Anna, nice to talk to you. By the way, thank you for giving me an extra day. I was late this week. I had a little post, gastric bypass checkup yesterday, and everything's fine. And so anyway, I appreciate you lending me an extra day here.
We'll talk to you anytime. You're good, though? It was a good checkup, and things going well.
Yeah. Thank goodness they didn't CAT scan my brain. But my producer keeps telling me they wouldn't find much up there.
I don't know. I think the equipment might explode. There's too much going on up there, Tom. But I don't know. We're out of time. I'm happy you're well. That's the best news ever. And continuing on that journey. So good to talk to you on a Wednesday, Tom.
Good to talk to you, Anna. You take care, and think 80 next Tuesday.
We got it. Thank you, Tom. Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. It's time for the news at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.